Opinion.
Welcome to Opinion. I'm Estelle Winters, and joining us as usual is Israeli publicist Avigdor Eskin. Thanks for joining us once again. Good to have you on the line. I'm going to throw ourselves into this edition of Opinion by asking you about some interesting comments made by Dr. Ofer Israeli in the Israeli newspaper Mariv. You're going to tell us more about this, but it looks as though he's trying to point out that Israel might be interested in a new type of relationship between Russia and the West.
Yes. What actually is important is we are talking about the official paper published by senior fellow in the Herzliya Strategic Institute, which, well, we cannot say that it's totally Israeli government's spokesman, but it's very close to the establishment circles. And the call is for active participation of Russia in any peace process in the Middle East. Actually, he suggests that the West should give up Ukraine and let Russia have Ukraine for a peaceful solution there in the Russian way, and that then negotiate with Russia some mutual strategy in Syria, in Iran, Iraq, etc., etc., because Israel today is very much concerned with the possibility that the Assad regime will be removed by some guys who are, well, much more dangerous, not only for Israel, but for the whole world. And many people in Israel are afraid that some, you know, American steps, military steps of America, of the West, can make the situation worse and not better. And therefore, we can hear voices here in Israel that Russia can play a very important role of balance between different positions which exist today. And we're talking about such players as Turkey, Iran, of course the United States of America and the West, and with their different interests today around Syria. And Israel is, you know, not far from Syria. Actually, we are neighbors. Actually, we have common border. And Israel also has something to say about it. And the Israeli word today, well, we would prefer Assad to stay in power, yes.
Of course, we all know that Russia has vast experience when it comes to mediation.
Especially in the Middle East, you can take the Syrian situation. You will see that Russia was behind actually removing nuclear weapons from Syria. Can you imagine today that these nuclear weapons would be obtained by the Islamic State, so-called? Can I just imagine what kind of situation would be? And the fact that it didn't happen is largely to the Russian attempts, peaceful attempts in Syria, and we should appreciate it. Therefore, Israeli experts are willing to talk about Russian participation and calling upon the West to bring Russia into the process and to do it together, even if the price for the West will be giving up Ukraine, because Ukraine is a bordering area for Russia, traditionally under Russian interests. And this call, when it comes from Israel, I think deserves some attention, because I believe there is a lot of sense here.
Opinion.
Some people are already using the word bored when it comes to the United States and Europe with their involvement in Ukraine.
Well, there is a change of atmosphere, but still, even after all the new trends we see there, I'm seeing new articles published, and more and more people understand that Ukraine was a mistake for the United States and for the West. But they still keep strengthening sanctions and talking about sanctions more even. And it looks like the whole policy is weird. And, well, the United States elections are coming, and you see that more and more candidates realize that the next administration in Washington will have to change the policy. Even somebody who is, you know, arch hawk, somebody as Donald Trump, who is anything but a hard-blooded liberal, he's talking about improving relations with Putin, and he says, I will be the one who will improve the relations with Russia. Well, this teaches us a lot about the current administration of Obama. They're just stuck in certain concepts of some blind egotism, which costs them a lot in America, by the way. We'll talk about it later. But it costs them a lot internationally. They lost everywhere. Listen, they lost in Libya, they lost in Iraq, they lost in Iran, they lost in Syria. All these places, and they lost in Israel. They losing their strongest ally, Israel. They spoiled the relations as much as they could. So you cannot say that there was any success for the United States there.
Opinion.
Avigdor, let's go back to Syria now. And as we've been pointing out, the U.S. is becoming militarily more active there. Well, Israel is worried. Russia is worried. And we turn now to well-known radio commentator Glenn Beck, who says that Israel is strongly opposed to the U.S. attempts to undermine the Assad regime, especially by using force. We've mentioned that already. But do you think that there really is a new conflict of interests between Israel and the U.S.?
Well, you see, as long as American drones drop a few bombs on the activists or fighters of ISIS, nobody cares much, and not even the current regime of Assad, let's be honest about it. Few attacks on ISIS is not something which makes us unhappy. But the fear is that after this initial involvement with ISIS, that Americans will try to undermine the Assad regime. They will try to hit Damascus. They will try to bring in the initial forces which they wanted to be instead of Assad. And as you remember, they tried to play with the Muslim Brotherhood, and it wasn't very successful. Now, Israel is not a big friend of Assad, and Assad is not a big friend of Israel, as you know. But Glenn Beck rightly said that, you know, when we are talking about, let's say, unfriendly neighbor, let's say Canada for us, unfriendly is one thing, but if there is a civil war there and the guys who fight Canada, they want to destroy not just Canada, but to kill every single American, then we would be concerned about it. And so Israel is concerned about Syrian opposition. These are the words of Glenn Beck. Now, if he knows what he's talking about, and he is calling upon the United States administration to take Israeli opinion into consideration and not to on attacking Syrian positions. And actually, he's not alone. There are many voices in America against any American involvement. And you remember that American Congress actually prevented Obama's plan to attack Syria. Also, it's important that Israel was against it, and the Israeli influence against the bombardment of Syria was there. This is important.
Opinion.
Joining us as usual is Israeli publicist Avigdor Eskin. Let's move along now, and a leading Western expert on Russia has published how and why the West should improve relations with Russia. Of course, we've seen many articles like this recently, but it seems that Washington and its Western allies show no intention, though, of changing anti-Russian policies almost on a daily basis. I mean, what do you think could help the situation change here? Can we hope to see light at the end of the tunnel in the end?
I believe yes, but I believe that nothing comes for free in our world. You see today how Israel, with very limited capabilities, but quite successful on Capitol Hill in expressing Israeli concerns in case of American deal with Iran, right? We don't know what will be the outcome of the vote in Washington, but it's going to be a big, big headache for Obama administration, no matter what. And I believe if Russia would have taken just simple steps to explain the Russian position in Washington, in London, in Paris, in Brussels, this could be very important. You know, this article in Observer, which you just have mentioned, is so important because it's very simple. You know, it's a simple facts, such as there are 600 television stations which anybody can pick up in Moscow, all the world. So you cannot say that Russia prevents any stream of information, while if you take the neighboring countries or the Baltic countries, well, they are preventing information coming from Russia. They're trying to introduce censorship in every possible corner of their life. And these are supposedly free countries. And Russia is supposedly a dictatorship. But under this dictatorship, there is total freedom of speech. And people from the West don't know it. Now, somebody who worked in Moscow knows it more better than others. And he actually brought this information to his readers. It's very important to emphasize all that. I mean, anybody is welcome to criticize Russia and Russian government. But let's agree that we will stick to the facts of life in Russia. And if Russian foreign minister, Russian even volunteers, civil volunteers, would go and talk to their colleagues in the West and telling them, listen, here we are. Let's sit and discuss how we'll coexist further. It's important simply to talk more and more and more.
Opinion.
And Avigdor, I'm not going to let you go until we discuss somebody who is very, very interesting indeed. Alas, he passed away this week at the age of 98. I'm talking about Robert Conquest. Such an interesting historian. I mean, he almost changed colours throughout his life. I mean, he started working for the British Secret Service, and then he rubbed shoulders with the Iron Lady, Margaret Thatcher, and he also was a member of the British Communist Party. And, of course, he spent a lot of his time looking into the history of gulags and, of course, Stalin. And many people spoke out about him, saying that some of his information was not correct. So what will you remember about him?
Well, he is a fascinating, absolutely fascinating individual. By the way, he was a very good poet, and he also translated some poetry into English. I mean, he was a brilliant person with a very, very interesting creative mind, but unfortunately, he was not accurate. His book, The Great Terror, about the Stalin's violation of human rights, if you put it in a mild language, was not correct. He tries to convince us that there were about 20 million people who were killed by this Soviet system. And today, we know the facts. We know that all our archives are opened. We can count and see. And we know that it was about 2 million victims, which is, I'm sorry, 2 million people who died for no real reason. 2 million innocent people, we're talking about a lot. I mean, it's a terrible number, but don't bring us other numbers which are wrong. And the same thing with what is called Golodomor, the Ukrainian version of the terrible hunger in 1932, 1933. Now, there was a terrible hunger, but there was a hunger not only in Ukraine, it was in Russia, it was in Kazakhstan. And there was no proof whatsoever that there was any intention. I mean, we can debate for hours now, but we have to be honest about one thing. We have to see the archives opened, and Russian archives are opened. And Robert Conquest had to deal with new facts based on open archives, and he never did it. What he did was speculation, and he brought us a lot of wrong information based on rumors, based on his own feelings. But unfortunately, today we can say that this whole legacy of Robert Conquest was not accurate. Even we are talking about the same thing. Yes, there were crimes committed by the Soviet regime, especially during Stalin's time, no question about it. But we need to keep into the right proportions. Talking about numbers, well, how many people died in Vietnam when American troops were bombarding different civil areas? I'm sorry, but we're talking here also about 2 or 3 million people. So let us stick to the facts and to be precise in whatever we're saying. But, of course, Robert Conquest will also remember that he was a very interesting man.
On that note, thank you for joining us once again here at Radio Sputnik. I'm Estelle Winters. Joining us for Opinion was well-known Israeli publicist Avigdor Eskin.
Opinion.